that video. And we decided to begin with it because you know what? That's really what today's all about. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself today. Maybe you're saying, you know what? That's not the Jesus I was told about growing up. Maybe you're still saying and you're kind of crossing your fingers and you're hoping and you're praying, I hope that Jesus is as good as that video made out to be. Maybe some of you know him, but maybe you've just kind of got, life has gotten busy and you've gotten the rut of it and you haven't realized all those incredible adjectives that were used to describe the Jesus. That is the Jesus that not only lives on the inside of us if you're a born again believer, but that's a Jesus that's here in this room this morning, that's here to transform lives, that's here to deliver, to save, to renew, to bring peace, to bring restoration, to bring vision, and to bring hope. So wherever you find yourself today, I hope you know that God loves you so much. And that Jesus, that King, you know, he can be the Lord of your life today. And I want to encourage you, if he's already the Lord of your life, I can't watch. I prayed, I was like, God, help me not cry, because when I watch the video, I'm in awe of who he really is and who he wants to be in our life if we will allow him to be that. Because when I watched that video for the first time, my brother-in-law sent it to me months ago, and I think I'd seen it one time before, but I watched it again, and sometimes I don't think I was living in awe of that Jesus. I was living in awe of the Jesus that Liz had made Jesus in her life and in her routine. Instead of keeping the big picture and the big focus of who he is and how much he loves the world and who he desires to be in my life and therefore who he desires to be through my life, so that my life was open to God and he could be and do everything that he desired to do in me and through me. But first of all, you have to know this. You have to know that God loves you. You have to know that individually. You can't just have known it at a one-time experience when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you went through that new creation, that the old things were passed away and all things were become new. But even as Christians and believers, we have to remind ourselves on a daily basis that same Jesus, the one who gave his life that is indescribable, incomprehensible, the one that the Pharisees hated but they couldn't stop him, that's the same Jesus, the same Savior that lives on the inside of us on a daily basis. So today we're going to talk about, the message is called For This Cause, but really it's just about Jesus. That might be a title name, but today I pray that the name of Jesus would be so high and lifted up, not only in our hearts and our lives, but it would actually change the way we live every day, that it would change the way we embrace life, that it would change this Christmas season, that it would change our goals for 2010, that it would change the course of our life, that it would change how we embrace the things that God's called us to do. It would change the way that we embrace the world around us. So today we're talking about For This Cause. And you know, just like Kyle said last week, this is my last time to speak as, I don't want to cry, as someone that works here. Sorry. Sorry. And I thought, you know, I really did not want to cry. That I'm a girl in medicine, you know, that's hard sometimes. I told myself I would not. But you know, I thought, what greater message, you know, kind of cliche, we're kind of leaving the cause, the original cause, by the way, right? And we're going to plant the Cause Community Church in Kansas City. But really what the cause is, and we'll always be committed and love this church and love you guys, and we love our pastors, obviously our parents, but they're also our pastors, and we love them. But you know what? The cause is really just the cause of Jesus Christ. It's not just a church, it's not just a youth group, but it really is the greatest cause on the planet. And the word, the cause, come when we even created the name for the youth group. It's found from John 18:37, and it says this: To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I would bear witness unto the truth. And I thought, what could be the greatest thing that I could say? What could be the, not the grand finale, the thing, the last thing I could actually share or impart, or hopefully, you know, encourage or inspire? And I think it is the life of Jesus Christ. And he said that to this end I was born. These were the words of Jesus. Jesus knew the end to which he was born. And he says, it was for this cause I came into the world, that my life would bear witness to the truth. When Jesus came to earth, you know, Jesus left everything that he had in heaven, all the luxuries that he had in heaven, the perfect world that he had in heaven, because he was so committed to his Father's cause. It wasn't originally even his cause. It was originally his Father's cause. But because he loved his Father so much, he gave his life. And he knew why he was born. He knew the cause for which he was going to give his life. He knew the purpose for why he was here. And he knew it was to reach the world. So he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I would bear witness to the truth. And so just like Jesus was born for a cause. The cool thing today is you were born for a cause. Jesus wasn't just born for a cause, and we're going to talk about this more. But you know what? You also were born for a cause. It is for that cause, the very cause that you were born for also. And, you know, I've been thinking and reflecting on the life of Pastor Billy Joe. And, you know, some people might think it's still sad, but the truth is it's incredible. The life that Pastor Billy Joe led was a life that was so fully committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. He changed worlds all over the world. He went into all the world and preached the gospel. He impacted the next generation. He stayed committed and focused to the things that God put in his heart. He led his life with joy, with peace, with integrity. And you know what? He imparted into his children and the next generation. And you know what? Now they're going on and they're going to do greater things. And they're going to build off that foundation. I've been thinking and just reflecting on his life and trying to glean principles that I could begin to sharpen in my own life. And glean things that maybe I need to reapply in my life so that I don't just live for today, but that my life lives for that cause, for longevity, so that my life leaves behind a legacy that's far greater than anything that I could do just on my own. So I was thinking about Pastor Billy Joe's life and inspired and encouraged and just rejoicing over what God did through his life. I began to think about what causes a man or a woman to live so much out of the norm and to live so focused for a cause, to give everything that they have, to live by faith and not by sight, to dare to believe the words of God and dare to believe that who God says he is. And he's not just going to want to do that for somebody else, but he wants to do it in my life and he wants to do it through my life. You were born for that same cause, and God wants to do that in your life, and God wants to do that through your life, and he wants to breathe fresh fire and fresh life and fresh encouragement and fresh joy and fresh freedom in your life, so you will be empowered to go into all the world. So I was thinking about that. What causes somebody to live a life, I mean, that's kind of abnormal? I mean, I haven't gone all over the world. I haven't built a life-changing church yet like that. I mean, you know, what is all these things that causes someone to live so focused and so committed? You know, I was thinking about words that Pastor Mark said. These words just kept coming back to me. And it's something Pastor Mark always, always says around here. We've all heard it. I bet if you've only been here one or two times, you've heard it. And he says to have a worldview and to have an eternal perspective. To have a worldview and to have an eternal perspective. Somebody that so commits to the cause, just like Jesus. Jesus said, for this cause I was born, that my life would bear witness to the truth. And man, did his life bear witness to the truth. I mean, come on, so much that all of our lives, because of his life, is bearing witness to the truth. But you have to have a worldview, and you have to have an eternal perspective. And you say, Liz, what do you mean by that? You have to know that the life that you lead is important. You have to realize that. And the life, the part that you're playing is very important. But then you have to couple it with the big picture that your part's only a part. Because if you think that your part is just so grand and glorious, you get to a small little world instead of the big world. And you think it's all about you now, and that if you weren't here, then it's nothing's going to, everything revolves around you. Instead of realizing, if you'll break out of that kind of thinking, and you'll break out of that small world mentality, and you'll break into the big world that God has for you, and the God reality, and the world reality, that you'll realize that your life is connected to millions of people all over the world that call Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior, and they're committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. They're building the local church. They're winning souls. They're sacrificing their own life and their own personal gain for the sake of other people. So you have to have a worldview. You've got to keep that in mind. And I want to encourage us all today. This is nothing going to be just brand new. But do you have a worldview? Not have you heard you should have a worldview. Do you have a worldview? And you know what I love about, I just kind of want to put in focus the world. And I love about Oral Roberts University is that they say go into every man's world. You know what, I believe everyone should go on a mission trip. I really do, because it will change your life. You'll get out of your comfort zone. You'll reach out. I mean, youth, who went on the mission trip to Mexico? It changed your life, didn't it? And you get stretched, and demands are put on you, and you're with people all the time, and you get so annoyed, but you're like, man, I gotta keep it together, and I'm exhausted, it's 110 degrees outside, and I'm sweating, my hair, it looks like I took a shower, and they want me to do another drama, what? Oh, we haven't eaten in 5 hours, oh, one more drama, are you kidding me? But you get this passion on the inside of you for people. And you get this passion inside of you for somebody beside your own comforts. And you begin to realize, man, if I'll step outside of my comfort zone, and if I'll step outside of my own little world, I'll get a picture of my life making a difference. And your life is called to make a difference for eternity. That's why we don't only have a worldview. There's a lot of people that are not Christ followers that have worldviews, right? But so it's not enough just to have a worldview. You can go to college and study the world and think you have the greatest worldview. But until Jesus Christ is put at the center of your worldview, you don't have a worldview that's correct. That's why we have to have eternal perspective. And what is eternal perspective? You go, I don't get that. What does that mean? It just means in the light of everything going on in your world and in your life, you begin to take kind of a magnifying glass of eternity and you put it on that, and you begin to realize, man, maybe you've gone through something really hard, and you know, it's not to diminish that. And the body of Christ is always here to comfort and encourage. But at the same time, you know what? If you'll take the eternal truths of the Word of God, you'll find that there is still hope. You'll take the eternal truths of what God has spoken over your life, and you'll find, man, there's still a hope for my future, that God's still gone before me and my future is still bright, that He knows the plans that He has for me, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future, that He is working in and through my life, and He's called me to be a world changer. He's called me to change the world around me. And you begin to look at life from a big global perspective. I was reading, God woke me up. We were in Kansas City yesterday, and I could not sleep all night long. So I got up early. I knew I was supposed to get up and pray. I got up to pray, and God led me to Isaiah 49. And at the very end of this verse, it says, and I'm going to take you global. It said it in the Message Bible. And I just love the way it said it, because you know what? God wants to take all of our lives global. If it's through prayer, if it's through your prayer life, that God wants to use you to reach the people of the world. If it's you going on a trip with Pastor Linda, youth, if it's hooking up with your youth pastor, with Sam, and going on all the trips that he plans, you need to go. If it's maybe even just realizing there are people from all over the world, maybe not be very many in Bartlesville, but there's still some. Maybe you should get into their world. And by getting into their world, it'll open up a whole nother world. It's not as hard to go into all the world as we might think it is. So it's so important, someone that lives for this cause. We're going to go back to the words of Jesus. For this cause, I was born. Let's all say that for this cause, I was born, that my life would bear witness to the truth. So if you want to live that kind of life, that kind of life that Jesus lived, you have to have a worldview, and you have to have an eternal perspective. So I was thinking about those words that Pastor Mark always says that will always stick with me, and I believe they'll always stick with you too. Is that really, you know, this isn't something he just made up. It's not just a catchy phrase. It really comes from the heart of God, and it comes from John 3:16. Because it says, for God so loved the world so much. He loved the world so much. How's our love for the world? I mean, I don't mean love for the world, like we're like the world. But love for the world that we want to reach out and make a difference. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have an eternal life. For God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have an eternal life. God's cause from the foundations of the world was the world, to reconcile the world back to him. So in order to do that, he had to send his son, Jesus Christ. You are God's cause. The world is God's cause. We are God's cause. And how he's chosen to reach the world as a community-wide effort is through the local church. Because the local church is the greatest institution, organization that the world has ever seen. It's called to bridge gaps that have never been built. A lot of other organizations can do things, but I really believe that the local church can bridge gaps, help people that have been marginalized, help people that have been hopeless, help people that are hurting like no other. I say organization, it's not really organization. Organism on the planet. That's why it's so important that part of your life is plugged in and connected. And you know, I just want to say thank you. Because this church has so many people, it's inspired me, that give of their time and their efforts and their abilities, all volunteer-based. Not for money, not for a salary, not for a pat on the back. And sometimes, anything that you do over and over and over gets kind of old, let's all be honest. And you have to do it because in your heart you know that it's the right thing to do. But I want to encourage you today, don't just do things because it's the right thing to do. You need to stir that passion back up inside of you. You need to stir that cause back up inside of you. We all need to come to church. You know, if I'm in Kansas City or if I'm in Life Church or if I'm somewhere else in the world where Pastor Linda is this morning in California, correct? Wherever you are, you need to come to church knowing that I'm here and I am for this cause, that there is a passion and a vision that is the reason why I discipline myself to get up and to show up and to get involved and to sacrifice and to play my part. Because the local church really is the hope of the world. And God loved the world, but he didn't just want to love the world for a season. He wanted to be in relationship with the world for eternity. So he gave us eternal life. And the thing I love about this is Jesus loved his Father, right? God had to use his Son. That was the answer to reconcile that cause back to him because he loved people so much. So he sent his Son. But you know what? Just like Lucifer, which was a part of God's angels, he chose to go his own way. Jesus chose to come to earth. He chose to. He chose to say, you know what, Father, I love you so much. And he loved his Father's heart so much. And if he loved his Father's heart so much, he couldn't help but to love people. And he couldn't help but to say, how can I lay my life down for a cause? And so Jesus came to the world, and he became the answer. You know, Jesus was born of a virgin, right? Born of Mary, raised by Mary and Joseph. And from a very young age, he committed himself to study the words of God, right? He did not live a normal childhood. He didn't have the same interests as normal kids. He loved God. He wanted to learn. I believe from a very young age, that instinctive thing that I was born for a cause. Where are the young people like that? I believe there are more young people that are going to rise up in the next generation that from a very young age, they're going to understand that I was born for a cause. And they're not just going to waste their life, and they're not going to want to waste their life on foolishness. But they're going to realize, man, I'm a part of God's plan. And I want to use my life and steward my life and spend my life with wisdom. Spend my life in a way that it will matter for eternity. So there was Jesus as a young boy. He grew up. He studied the word. He studied, you know, he would go to the synagogue and study. He would glean. He would learn. He would pray. And then he grew up. At the age of 30, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and sent into full-time ministry. He recruited people around him to go, all of his disciples. He said, come with me and be a fisher of men. During those 3 years, they revolutionized the world. It was known. They reached so many people. Signs, wonders, and miracles were happening everywhere they went. And then he was falsely accused. He was misunderstood. He was beaten horribly. He went to the cross, right? He died, but death had no power over him. He was buried, and in 3 days, he rose again. And so I want to read today after he rose again, because Jesus did rise. Mary Magdalene and many others right before, so if you would go on and read before in the chapter that I'm getting ready to read, they went to find him in the tomb and they couldn't find him because death had no power over him. The death had no power over that cause that caused him to give his life. He had a vision for his future. He knew there was life after what God called him to do. He knew that he was going to build a bridge from God to humanity that only he could do. So Jesus rose again, and before he ascended to heaven, he came back and he was going to go talk with his disciples. So he was here for just a little bit, and he had the very last words to say. And these are the last words that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the reason why we're all here today. It's not just for a good message. It's not just because we like the worship. It might be because we like Starbucks, okay? It might be because of that. I did buy 2 coffees at McDonald's this weekend, and it cost me $8. I didn't know that was possible. Anyway, side note. But anyway, you know what? These are the last words of Jesus, and this is what he wanted to say. He ascended right up to heaven after this. And these same words that he spoke to his disciples, because we are now his disciples, right? These are the same words I believe if Jesus was here, and he is here, if he was here in person, he would say to us today. He probably wouldn't come up with this whole new, amazingly beautiful, all the words perfectly in place sermon. He'd probably say this. I really believe that. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. And be sure of this. I love this. I am with you always, even to the end. The very last words of Jesus while he was on the earth. He could have summed up. He could have told stories. He could have, man, just thought back on all the great memories he had with his disciples and laughed and joked. But no, he said, he left this grand invitation for his disciples to take into the world, to say, hey, you, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Be a part of God's big cause. Because it was for that cause Jesus lived his life. And then Jesus opened up that invitation, invited all of us in, and he said, hey, will you be a part of that cause too? Will you go into all the world and will you preach the gospel? In another translation or another part, in one of the in one of the other gospels, there's another version of the Great Commission, and it went on to say that the disciples went out and signs and wonders followed them, and that's how God confirmed his word. You are called to go into all the world. And you know what? That might start here. It might start during meet and greet, going into someone else's world intentionally. Not just a handshake, not just a, hey, how are you? But how about a, you know what? What's really going on? Really getting to know somebody. Really impacting somebody's life. Really speaking words over somebody that will draw them out from where they're at into the future that God has called them to do. You know that power's on the inside of you? That kind of wisdom's on the inside of you? The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you to lead you and guide you and help you and encourage you and to inspire you when you're tired and to give you hope when you feel like, man, this is taking a little bit longer because it takes faith and patience to inherit the promise. Things don't just happen overnight. Sometimes they do, but normally, always, a seed has been working for a while. It takes faith and patience to inherit the promise. And so those were the very last words of Jesus. So if we were born for a cause, then our cause is the Great Commission. Guys, that is our cause. If you think, you know what, I've been waiting my whole life to discover what my purpose is. I've been waiting my whole life to figure out, man, I don't feel like I have any gifts or talents. I don't feel like, man, you see some other people that got 500 gifts and you feel like, man, I don't even have one. Let me just encourage you today. If you'll grab a hold of that cause, the Great Commission, the biggest, the greatest, the cause that Jesus Christ said for himself, for this cause I'm going to give my life, I will promise you a new favor and anointing will come on your life and God will begin to open doors for you that no man can open, and he will open doors for you that no man could shut. It says in Proverbs 11:30 that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Are we winning souls? Because that's how we know we're being wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You know what? Soul winner is kind of an old term, but do you know what that really just means? It's letting your life shine the truth of who Jesus Christ really is in a way that someone next to you can understand it. That's what that means. It means living your life, having joy and peace, having encouragement. People want to be around you. You have a light and a life in your life that can't be stopped, just like Jesus. You know, trials and tribulations may come, but you're still of good cheer because you know that God has already overcome the world. And you know that if God is for you, man, who can be against me anyway? So I'm just going to be at peace. Let's read this next verse. This is really good. It says, as for you, be calm, cool, and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fully perform all the duties of your ministry. You know what Pastor Mark and Linda's job is, and anybody else that works at a church, is to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible says. It's not for them to go and do all the work of the ministry. The Bible says it's to equip the saints to go do the work of the ministry. Do you know that your part is just as vital as anybody that would ever get up here on stage? Ever. That is how vital you are in the plan of God. They're up here for you. Their gifts were given not for self-gain. Gifts were given to bless other people. And so gifts are given and used to encourage and to inspire and to equip so that everybody can go play their part. And so you know what the truth is? It doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a mom, a student, a receptionist, a dentist, a dental hygienist. It doesn't matter. You're called to do the work of an evangelist. Jesus understood that. Jesus didn't just do it because he was the Son of God. Jesus did it because it was the cause of his Father. And he passed down that cause, and he gave it to us when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so, you know, we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. And wherever you are today, in whatever world that maybe you're in, maybe you're not satisfied with the world that you're in. Maybe you feel like, man, this isn't quite the fit, or I still have big, you know, visions for my future. Or maybe you feel like, man, I'm right where I've walked things out a little bit, and I feel like I'm right in track and in sync with the destiny that God has for my life. But either way, if you'll be faithful in the world that you find yourself in, and you'll begin to embrace it, and you won't just be a sit-back Christian that comes to church and hopes you get something, but you'll really begin to engage with life and renegotiate life and negotiate relationships in a way that you've got influence and negotiate relationships in a way that you're relational and people can understand you, and you just, they might not always get you, but you have this love. People love love. All people want love. It's people's greatest need. And your life is filled with it. is what happens is your life begins to be an adventure again. And you begin to stop controlling your life so much. And it's just your little life and your little routine. But is what happens is you say, Holy Spirit, I give you my life. I give you my everyday. I'll probably say that verse every time I speak. My everyday, my ordinary life. And I'm going to allow you to fill it up. I have my plan, but man, I give it up to your plan. It doesn't mean we don't have a plan, but it means in the midst of that plan, man, Jesus was the master of that. I mean, Jesus was interrupted, stopped, gotten one way, and now he's over here. And I mean, Jesus knew how to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's the same thing. Our life begins to be an adventure. I think of Pastor Linda, what an adventure she lives. And that's what she thinks life is, and that is what her life is. But she, you know what? It's not just for her. It's for every single one of us here. And it doesn't mean you have to go to India for it to be an adventure. Start now. Be faithful now. Be faithful in the world that you find yourself now. Because the Great Commission equals the great adventure. Or a great adventure. And you might go, well, Liz, I'm a Christian and I'm at church and I'm serving. And man, my life is just not an adventure. I mean, that equation does not equal out my life. You know what I want to maybe say to all of us? I've proved it out in my own life. If I'll find myself in the routine of ministry, but I still feel like, man, there's a void or just kind of same old, just start going out and ministering to people. Not because of church, just because of life. Because there's people in my life every day that God wants to use me to reach. Intentionally speak into someone's life. Intentionally sow into someone's life. Go give something away. Go do something to be a blessing. Go do something to get out of your normal routine. Go do something and don't wait for it to happen. Make it in your mind up that today I'm going to be a blessing. That today I'm going to lead someone to Jesus Christ. That today I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and I'm going to be bold. And I'm going to pray for someone. That today I'm going to have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to understand and be able to be sensitive to the needs of those around me. Because the Great Commission, which is our cause, equals a great adventure. And God has a great adventure for you. And some of you have been stuck in routine and you're Christians and you're born again and you're a Christ follower and you love God. But you need to awaken and recommit to the Great Commission. You need to awaken and recommit that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. That the love of God lives in me and is not meant to be hoarded up for myself, but it's meant to be given away. That is the Great Commission. So the Great Commission equals a great adventure. And I began to think about this, and why does sometimes our life as Christians, why is it not an adventure? Let's all be honest. Is sometimes your life not an adventure? Sometimes my life is not an adventure. Lately it's been a lot of adventure. Too much adventure at times. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? I'm totally kidding. But anyway, your life is meant to be an adventure. But you have to take a little risk if you want your life to be an adventure. You have to be willing to step out when it's uncomfortable for it to be an adventure. And let me tell you, when you do, God is so faithful, and God shows up in ways that blows your mind, and God reconnects you with people, and God opens new doors, and God opens relationships. God opens your vision, and now it's like, man, what I couldn't see, I can see now. It's so awesome. He expands you. You get bigger as a person, not for prideful reasons, but for reasons to be able to have a larger capacity to pour out. And so there's this verse that I really thought about why our life isn't an adventure sometimes. And it's in John 12:25. And it says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And another verse that's kind of dramatic, I do realize that. You know, I think sometimes the Bible is a little dramatic. I think he's trying to get us moving in a direction, right? But the word hate really just means is you're not clinging on to your life. You don't love your life more than you love the bigger picture. You don't love your life and your little world and the things that you want so much that you'll sacrifice everything to have it, to keep it that way, to do this. No, but you're going to say, God, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to give up my life so I can really gain the true life. You know what? There is kind of the ideal life people are looking for. But you know what? There's a greater life that you find in Jesus Christ. And not just in a one-time salvation experience. I'm talking about a life that's committed to the cause of Christ. A life that says, for this cause, my life was born so that my life would bear witness to the truth. So I want to encourage us all today. You know what? Don't hold on to your life. Maybe it's just like you're driving, you're just kind of on the brakes, you know, just a little bit, you know. You're kind of going, but you're like, man, I'm just not quite for sure. I'm just going to, you know, and you're going, and it just doesn't work, right? You got to put on the gas. You got to go. And I want to encourage you to go for God. I want to encourage you to realize that the cause is your cause is the Great Commission, and that a life fully committed to that Great Commission is a life of adventure. And it doesn't mean you have to be in full-time ministry. You know, we're all in full-time ministry. And I really think that that is the revival that is to come. It's not just prayer meetings where people are running around rooms. It's not just things that are weird and bizarre and nobody understands. And it's like, well, what does that mean? No, I think it's the body of Christ realizing that their cause is the Great Commission, and they live their life every day like that, and they've got an intensity, not to scare people away, but a focus and a compassion and a love and a grace about their life and the fruit of the Spirit's in their life, and they don't live their life for themselves, and they're generous. They're so generous that, man, they're so not thinking about themselves that God can pour so much more into their life. And then all of a sudden there's this abundance, and it's just to go to do something incredibly so cool for God. Young people, you want to have a cool life. Give your life to God. Really give your life to God. Stop holding back. Stop putting on the brakes. Stop trying to be like the world and thinking like you don't fit in. You'll probably never fully fit in if you really follow God, but you'll always be a leader. People will always follow you, and you'll always have community around you, and God will always bring you not only the right friends, but the best friends you could ever dream. So one last verse in Matthew 6:19-21, it says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want my heart to be where my Father's heart's at. I want my heart to be where God is at. I want my heart to be alongside Jesus' heart, that it was for this cause that I was born, that my life would bear witness to the truth. You know, kind of to balance this all out a little bit, God still wants to bless your life. It doesn't mean you'll never have anything in the earthly life. It doesn't mean you're never going to be blessed. Or the cool thing, it's the Matthew 6:33 life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You can look at somebody and think, man, they have all these things. There's two ways to get all these things: striving and working and giving your life for him, or giving your life to God and letting him add all these things to your life. That is the greatest testimony. Amen. Well, today, you know what? I just want to encourage you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you can say, that's my King, you can't say that today. You saw that video, and it touched you. You felt the presence of God. You felt something in you kind of change. You felt kind of a peace you hadn't felt. And you say, man, I want to be able to say today that that's my King. It's not a video I watch or just a church I go to, but that's my Savior. That's my Jesus. That's who lives with me every day. That's who has transformed my life. That's who's made me new. That's who's forgiven my sins. That's who's given me a purpose and a plan and a vision for my life. That's who takes care of me and provides for me. That same Jesus loves you today, and he wants to get to know you. He wants to have a deep, intimate relationship with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to be hope for you. And if you don't know that Jesus, we're going to have an opportunity to pray a prayer. But I also want to encourage all of us as a community of believers and as brothers and sisters in Christ, live for that cause. Get that verse, John 18. Every person has a cause that God has called them to live for. And it is the Great Commission. It might look a little different in all of our worlds and lives, right? But it's still the Great Commission. And if you say that my life has not been an adventure, my life has been a routine, or I've gotten on track, or I lost my passion, because life can get busy. Without refocusing your life, that's naturally what will happen. So you've got to refocus, and that's why you've got to have that worldview and that eternal perspective and be reminded of it constantly so you can refocus your life to where the Great Commission is the cause that you're living for. So we're going to pray a prayer. And you know what? This really is a prayer that just says, man, Jesus, I love you. I believe in you. You've forgiven me. All shame, all fear, all guilt. I thank you that you're wiping it all away. You're making me clean. You're making me new. Now use my life. I don't just want to come back and sit in a chair to not make a difference. Now use me to be a world changer. Is there anybody in here that wants to start changing the world like never before, more than you even have? Come on. So we're going to pray this prayer. You can close your eyes, open your eyes. It doesn't really matter. Whatever's comfortable to you. This is between you and Jesus. But I believe there's some of you here today that when you pray this, God wants to show you new plans for your life. You've been going down one direction and God is wanting to. It might not be all of a sudden you totally jump to another path, but God's going to begin to speak to you new things, and he's going to begin, and if you'll obey him, you're going to begin to go down the path, not that you planned, but the path that he planned for your life. That's where fulfillment is. That's where peace is. That's where success is. Success in every realm of life. And following after God with your whole heart. So pray this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. I just receive forgiveness from all my sins today. Wash away every form of guilt and shame. I love you. Now transform my life so that I can transform the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen.
And what an awesome word.